If you got your Bible with you this morning, would you turn to Luke chapter 17? Luke chapter 17, and in just a few moments, we're going to be looking at really what was an astounding occurrence in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that illustrates and instructs for us on the Christian characteristic that we're focusing on during this month of November, and that is gratitude. So if you were out last Sunday morning, or maybe this is your very first time at Abilene, we're in a series of studies during the month of November that we've entitled Be Thankful. And what we're looking to do during this series of studies is really develop an attitude of gratitude. And so this morning what I want to do is I want to share with you a very special, practical, biblical message. And the title of my message this morning is Don't Forget to Say Thank You. Don't forget to say thank you. There was a little boy who said thank you to an older man one day who had helped him do something. I don't know what it was. But this older man had helped him do something, and the little boy said thank you. And the guy just kind of blew it off. He said, oh, don't mention it. He said, I have to. My mama said so. So be thankful and say thank you. You know, we're just a little over a week away from Thanksgiving, aren't we? When we're going to start cooking and inviting all the family for dinner. And, you know, there's always one. There's always one. There's that person who just doesn't know quite what to do. And so there was a lady who called the food editor of a local newspaper one day. And when the local food editor answered the phone, this lady on the other line said, how long do I cook a 22-pound turkey? And the lady on the line, the food editor, said, well, just a moment. And she turned around to get that chart to tell her how long, and the lady on the line said, thank you, and hung up. Just a moment. There's always one like that in every family. So you go to somebody's family's house, and they put the food out in front of you, and see if y'all like me, you just don't know, do I eat it or not? You ever been like that? Can I say that out loud, that there's family members that I go to their house, I'm like, I don't know if I can eat that or not. So we had the outdoor adventure game day yesterday at the new property and had all these games, and the WIC kids racked up. And so I got accused unjustly, I want you to know, unjustly of rigging the system, because I couldn't rig it if I had tried. Now, if I had wanted to, I might have tried, but I couldn't have even rigged it then. And so Jack won the turkey shoot. He did. He won the turkey shoot. He had the most pellets in the middle of the target, and he came to me. I didn't even know. I was talking politicking like preachers do, and Jack came running to me and said, Daddy, I won the turkey shoot. And I said, really? What'd you win? He said, a turkey. I said, no. What did you win? And he said, a turkey. And he held up a frozen. My son is running all over the side of this hill in West Columbia County with a frozen turkey like it's gold. He's so excited about it. Matter of fact, the sweet lady was in the early service, the manager of the Sprint store out there in Harlem, because for those of us who live in West Columbia County, Sprint's like our Walmart, and she goes to the early service now a lot of Sundays, even back on Sunday nights. Some of y'all could take a hint from that, and she comes back even on Sunday nights, and she was here this morning, and last night we're in the Sprint store, and Jack is checking out, and he's telling this sweet lady how he's won the turkey shoot, and he won it, and he won a bow and arrow, and he won disc, and all. He racked up. And she said, well, what did you win for the turkey shoot? And he said, a turkey. And she did the same thing. She said, no, what did you win? He went, I won a frozen turkey. And she looked at him and she said, that's nice. And so again, we're just a few days away from Thanksgiving, and when again our hearts and minds turn toward being thankful, it should be that way all year long. So you're there in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. We have what I think is one of the saddest stories in all the Bible. And what makes it so sad is that it reveals a lot about the nature of just about every single person in this building this morning, preacher included. What this story reveals to us is that it is part of our fallen human nature to have an unthankful spirit and to be ungrateful. And like we learned last week, if you were here, thankfulness and gratitude is something that has to be taught and learned. You don't just come out of the womb knowing how to be thankful and grateful. It's something you have to learn. And so we're not born with a thankful spirit. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want us to read this sad, sad story, and I want us to see what Jesus had to say about what I like to call these thankless turkeys, okay? Look there in Luke 17, beginning verse 11. And if you have found your way there, say amen. And as you say amen, would you stand to your feet? Let's read these verses together this morning. If you're new to Abilene, don't let this weird you out. We do this all the time. I'm going to let you sit back down in just a moment. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can read along with us on the screen. But look there in Luke 17, beginning of verse 11. The Bible says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question as we kick off the sermon this morning. What is it about ingratitude that always brings the swift, sharp condemnation of God? I mean, think about it. Whenever the Word of God talks about ingratitude, it always condemns it. So again, what is it about thankfulness that brings the commendation of God, and unthankfulness or ingratitude that always brings the condemnation of God? If you'll look into your Bible, you'll find that it's always the case. God always exalts and honors thankfulness, and God condemns and criticizes and causes judgment to fall upon unthankfulness and ingratitude. But have you ever really stopped to wonder, what is it that makes ingratitude so bad? Well, I'm going to show you this morning from Luke chapter 17, from this sad, sad story, about four or five things that I believe we can learn about the sin and the shame of ingratitude. If you're taking notes this morning, you ought to write this first thing down. You ought to take notes, whether you want to write it down on a sheet of paper, whether you want to use your note app on your iPhone. If you got a Samsung, I don't have a clue what that does. But if you want to take notes down there, make sure you put it down somewhere, because as my pastor Adrian Rogers always said, the weakest ink is better than the strongest memory, okay? And so write it down. You're going to have it. You're going to need it later. So number one, what does ingratitude do? Ingratitude, number one, from this story, dims your sight. That's what it does. Ingratitude dims your sight. Look with me back to verse 15. Because verse 15 says that one of the men saw, one of those lepers saw that he was healed. Did you see that? How many of y'all saw that? Raise your hand. Did you see that? The Bible says that he saw. It didn't that he felt it. He saw that he was healed. So get the picture. Here were 10 men who were all lepers. These lepers were standing by the side of the road, that they see that Jesus is coming down the street, and they begin to cry out. Luke tells us, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And the Bible says that Jesus turned and he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. You can just see them now. Those who can run, they're running. Those who can walk, they're walking. Those who can crawl, they're crawling. They're all headed to see the priest, just like Jesus told them to do. But in the middle of all this chaos and confusion and activity, one of those lepers stops and he looks down, perhaps at his hand, maybe he looks at his legs, maybe he looks down there at his feet, and he realizes his leprosy, it's gone. He's been healed. And then the Bible says that he saw that. Let me ask you a question. Don't you think that those other 9, don't you think that those other guys saw that as well? Don't you think that they saw, as they were running away, don't you think that they saw that they've been healed? As they looked at their hands, they looked at their legs, they looked at their feet, they looked at their arms, don't you feel that they saw that they had been healed? And yet they didn't stop. And so here's the thing. Here's what ingratitude does. Ingratitude dims your sight to the point where, like those other 9 lepers, all you see is the solution to your problem. Think about it. 2 groups of people. Over on this side, you've got this one leper who said thank you. On the other side, you have this 9 other men. All 10 of them have experienced the same miracle. They've all been healed of their leprosy. But then these 9 men over here, they only saw one thing, the solution to their problem. And when they saw that they had been healed of their leprosy, they immediately began to just run along on their way. But notice what this other guy saw. The Word of God says that he not only saw the solution, he also saw the source of that solution. You see, those other 9 guys, they saw that something had been done. They knew that something had happened. They knew that they had been healed. But that thankful man looked behind and beyond the solution to the source of what had been done. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact, consider the fact that that's the tragedy of ingratitude? You see, ingratitude doesn't have the ability to see where the blessing comes from. Jot down, if you will, John 1:3. John 1:3, one of the high theological chapters in the Bible. And John 1:3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So what does that say? That says that there is a source behind everything that I can see with my eyes, touch with my hands, feel with my body. Now, who's the source? It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the one who made all things, controls all things, and holds everything together. And so an ungrateful man can never see that. The only thing that an ungrateful man can see are the blessings that he already has. He's never able to see the blesser behind the blessings. And so number one, the very first thing that ingratitude does, ingratitude dims your sight. Number two, ingratitude dulls your senses. Look back there at those men. A few moments ago, they're lepers. They're all lepers. Again, their fingers were rotting and falling off. Their ears were rotting and falling off. Their body were covered with those horrible, terrible sores as that terrible, horrible, awful, deadly disease literally destroyed their entire body. They were literally walking dead men. But suddenly, just like that, at the word of Jesus, they've been healed and made completely whole. But they had ungrateful hearts. They had ungrateful hearts. And their senses had become dull to the point that they never returned to give God the glory. That's another thing about an ungrateful heart. It dulls your senses and it causes you to be oblivious to just how good God has been to you. I never will forget the very first mission trip, the first real mission trip that I went on. So you kind of have to couch it. So the first mission trip that I went on was to Romania. We stayed in a really nice hotel. We ate really good food. I gained weight on that trip. That's not a real mission trip, okay? It's a great trip, and I want you to go with me someday, but that's not what I'm talking about here. The first real mission trip that I ever went on was to Masatepe, Nicaragua, out in the middle of nowhere, in the jungle, in the bush. And we had traveled all day. Kim went with me. We went all day, traveled out there in the middle of nowhere, driving on a bus. I could tell you all kinds of stories. And we pull up to this building that's supposed to be the house. Nobody has been in that house in forever. We walk in there in the middle of the night. They turn the lights on. You ever walked in somewhere and when they turn the lights on, you get dizzy? You ever walked in somewhere that's so bad that all of a sudden you're just kind of shaking? So we're in there. They turn the lights on, concrete floor, metal building, scorpions, tarantulas, lizards, snakes everywhere. In the middle of the main room is a great big pile of twin-size mattresses, no telling how old and nasty they are, about that thick. They said, those are your beds. Pick one up. Go get you a room. So I go and grab a mattress. I put it in one of the little rooms. I begin to make my little spot there where I'm going to spend the next week. And can I just say this to y'all this morning? I'm a hunter and everything, but I like a nice, clean hotel. Can I get an amen this morning? When it comes to this stuff, I'm a sissy. I would rather be in a tent in the middle of nowhere than sleeping on a nasty mat on concrete floor in the middle of a building that I can't get out of when I want to, all right? It gets worse. It gets worse. No water you can drink. None. No. No hot water at all. They had a thing called a widowmaker. Do y'all know what a widowmaker is? How many of y'all know what a widowmaker is? Can I see your hands? How many of y'all do not know what a widowmaker is? Can I see your hands? So in other parts of the world, if they want to have hot water, they don't have water heaters. And they have things called widowmakers. And so it's a device that goes on the end of the shower that's plugged into the wall. It's got a heating element that electricity runs through. Water goes through this electrified heating element, and somehow you get hot water unless it doesn't work, and that's why they call it a widowmaker. Yeah. And so they have a widowmaker, but we're told you can't flip the switch because it costs too much. So no cold, no hot water, no water you can drink. 30 billion flies on every plate of food. They're cooking in banana leaves. I get a parasite while I'm there that week. Kim calls me into the back room one day. She said, I need you to see this, where the girls were sleeping in the back room. And there's a concrete wall in the back room, and there are like 3,000 little bitty, almost microscopic ticks just climbing all over the wall. Look right here. Look right here. Do you know what you do if you find one spider in a house? Burn it down. Burn the whole thing down. Literally, we had tarantulas, we had scorpions, and outhouses. I mean, have I painted the picture appropriately for you? So I'm not happy, and I'm mad, and I'm upset, and I'm getting on everybody. And there's a staff member who put all this together, and I'm just this. If he wasn't in another country, I would have fired him right there. But then I'd have to go home with him. It's a whole other story. And so I'm not happy. And yet I lay down that night and God gets a hold of me. And I'm laying there on that nasty mattress on a concrete floor in the middle of nowhere in Nicaragua. And all of a sudden I began to think, how many times have I gone to a hotel room somewhere and thought, that bed's just not all that comfortable? How many times have I sat down to eat at somebody's table and thought, I really don't want that? How many times have I just gone over to the water faucet and turned on the water? And water came out without stopping to think, can I drink this or can I dry? Much less, is it hot or cold? And as I thought about those things, God did something in my heart that night. And you know what he did? He softened my heart. He showed me how much I have compared to how little they have. Do you want to know why ingratitude is such a tragedy? It dulls your senses. It gets you to the place where you think, man, I don't need anything. I don't need anybody. I've got everything that I could ever possibly want or need. And that's exactly where we are in the United States of America today. We have enjoyed so much and we have been blessed so much that our senses have become dulled to the blessings of God. Let me read for you what God prophesied regarding the nation of Israel and see if this doesn't sound just like America to you this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, here's the context. The children of Israel are just about to go into the promised land and God is warning them about what would happen to them when they got there. So again, see if this doesn't sound just like the United States of America to you today. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, now watch this, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So what did God warn Israel about? God said, you guys are about to go up into a land where you're going to have all kinds of fine stuff. You're going to have all kinds of wonderful blessings. And you're going to be able to eat and you're going to be full and on things that you didn't have anything to do with. But I want to give you a warning. When you have eaten and when you are full, make sure you do not forget the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and gave all of this to you. So ingratitude, the very first thing that it does, it dims your sight. Number two, it dulls your senses. Number three, ingratitude deepens your sin. That's what it does. Now watch real closely. Go back just a few verses to where those 10 men are standing on the side of the road. They're standing there, and that's all we know in verse 12, by the way. That's all we know, 10 lepers on the side of the road. So here are all 10 lepers. They're standing by the side of the road. But after we read through this story, 9 of them are going to be remembered for all of eternity, forever, as being ungrateful. And you know what their ingratitude did to them? It deepened their sin. Let me show you real quickly. Are y'all still there this morning? Let me show you in the Word of God this morning exactly what I'm talking about, because I saw this as I was preparing for this morning's message. It really is amazing that as you study the Bible to see how ingratitude is connected with sin. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, so if you want to know why we have all the problems we have in America, all the sin and debauchery, all the chaos and conflict, all the hatred and division, if you want to know why we have all the false religions, it's right here in Romans chapter 1. Notice what Paul says. Paul says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Watch this. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. And he goes on to talk about, again, all the sexual depravity and all those sorts of things. He ties it all right back here to Romans chapter 1. Did you notice what he tied it back to? Notice what he said. Notice the progression of their sin. Notice how their sin deepened. The Bible says that it started when they knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God. And then the Bible says this. It's kind of crazy. Neither were they thankful. They weren't thankful. Anybody ever notice that before? Anybody ever realized that? I mean, to think that an ungrateful heart is something that causes the sin in your life to deepen and to take hold. You know, as I look back on my life as a Christian, I can't think of one person who have ever thought that had the touch of God in their life, the hand of God on their life, who was not a thankful person. So this past week, thank you for letting me fly back out to Southwestern Seminary. I'm finishing up my PhD. I'm hoping to get done in the next 10 years. And so I flew out there this past week, and I got my prospectus. By the way, I got to go ahead, finalize it, do the form and everything, turn it back in this weekend. So the prospectus will be in this week, and then we'll get writing the dissertation first of the year, hopefully. And so I got to go out there this week and hang out with Dr. Allen, Dr. David Allen, Dr. Matthew McKellar, Darren Biles, all the preaching faculty out at Southwestern Seminary, Dr. Adam Greenway, the president out there. And so as I was out there this week, I'm thinking, by the way, that's where I was born. I was born at Harris Methodist Hospital out in Fort Worth. I'm a seminary baby. And so I'm out there. I took Bradford Rush. Those of you that are Abilene folks, remember our intern from this past summer, Bradford Rush. Remember, how many of y'all remember Bradford? And so I'm keeping a hook in him. I took him to Joe T. Garcia's and fed him really well. And I went to eat at Cousin's Barbecue. Any Fort Worth folks in here? Any Fort Worth folks in here? Raise your hand. Can I see your hand? Any Fort Worth? Cousin's Barbecue, good. Any balcony? Any Fort Worth folks in here? No, nobody. Good Lord, we need to go to Fort Worth. But I'm out there, and again, just thinking about how God has blessed me. And I really, again, I can't think of anybody that I've ever noticed in my Christian life or ministerial life who had the hand of God on them or the touch of God on their life that wasn't thankful. What about you? Can you think of anybody who's a real committed, born again, walking in the Spirit, Holy Ghost filled, faithful Christian who's not a thankful person? No, the answer is no, you can't. And the reason why is because there's something about thanksgiving, there's something about gratitude that brings the blessings of God upon your life, and there is something about thanklessness and ingratitude that deepens your sin and causes you to get away from God. And so that's why the second thing mentioned in that passage in Romans chapter 1 was an unthankful heart. They wouldn't glorify God, and then they weren't grateful to God. And because of that, it led it to the point where God gave them up. So here's the fourth thing. What does ingratitude do in the heart and the life of a person? Number four, ingratitude disappoints your Savior. You know how I know that? Listen to what Jesus said in our story. Look back down there in your Bible. Look at what Jesus said in our story this morning. Jesus looks at this one man who's standing there before him, and as he looks at him, you can almost hear, can't you? You can almost hear and you can sense the emotion, the sadness in the voice of Jesus. As Jesus looks at this one single solitary stranger standing in front of him who's come back to say thank you, and Jesus says, weren't there 10 of you? Didn't I heal 10? Where are the 9? Now, let me tell you something this morning. If it hurts and disappoints you for you to give something to somebody or do something for somebody and they don't stop to say thank you, can I say that God's not any different? When's the last time that you stopped to thank the Lord for saving you? When's the last time that you stopped to thank Jesus for dying for you on the cross? When's the last time that you stopped to just say thank you to God for all the good things that He's given you in your life? Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Just answer this in your heart. When's the last time that you got down on your knees? When's the last time you got alone, wherever you have your quiet time or your what I call your time alone with God, TOG? When's the last time that you ever just said, Lord, I want to just thank you and I want to praise you for all the blessings that you have given to me? How long has it been since you thanked God for saving you? How long has it been since you thanked Him and just said, Lord, thank you for giving me life. Thank you and praising Him for who He is. How long has it been? Can you imagine how it must disappoint the Savior when He works in our lives and He looks out and He says, weren't there 10? Where are the 9? Where are those that I have blessed so much? And there's one last thing that I want you to see here this morning, because I've told the other services today, I don't know if you've picked up on this, I'm trying to give you an early Christmas present. There was a day when I preached 45 and 55 minutes. I've tried to be a little shorter here lately. So have y'all noticed that? I'm trying to help you. Are y'all thankful? Because if you're not, I can go back to 55 minutes. Well, let me show you real quickly as we wrap up this morning's sermon. And when I saw this, it startled me. Because not only does ingratitude dim your sight and dull your senses and deepen your sin and disappoint your Savior, ingratitude deprives your supply. Look back in verse 17 real quickly. Jesus said, so weren't there, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And again, Jesus turns around to this single, solitary stranger standing before him who had come back to say thank you. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. What's he talking about there? Well, it's obvious he's already been healed. So what's he talking about there when he says your faith has made you whole? I believe he's talking about him being saved. He said to that leper, you're saved because of your faith. This gratitude that you've expressed shows it. Now listen closely, here's what I'm trying to say. There were 10 men standing and shouting at the side of the road that day, but as Jesus passed by, the bottom line of this story here in Luke chapter 17 is that only one of them was saved. 9 of them never got saved. Why is that? Because they never bothered to come back and thank the Lord. What if those other guys had come back to the Lord and just said, hey, thank you? What if they come back and got on their knees and just said, I want to thank you for healing me? What if they said, we glorify you and we praise you and we thank you, Jesus, for healing us? I think that they would have heard the exact same thing that one guy heard. Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. If you'll stop and think about it, the fact is that we don't have the blessings and power of God and some things in our lives because we have failed to show God gratitude in other things. Let me show you. We're wrapping it up. Let me show you what Jesus said about that. Just one chapter back. Go to Luke 16. So Jesus is talking about how gratitude responds and reacts and fleshes out in the life of a person. And notice what he says. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So that's obvious. There's a physical component here. There's a financial component here. But there's also a spiritual component here. You know what Jesus is saying? If you're not thankful for the riches that you've received in this world, who's going to trust you with the true riches? If you're not faithful and grateful in what God's already given you, he's not going to give you the stuff that really matters. So, we're just a little over a week from Thanksgiving, aren't we? And see, I've been here almost 10 years, and so what I've noticed is that we got a lot of crazy folks in this church. No, it's true. It's just true. And so, on Thanksgiving night, I've watched it, because the next day after Thanksgiving is what's called as Black Friday. And I've watched you guys. Y'all are crazy. Because there's going to be a lot of you folks, and you're going to post pictures about it, where you're going to stay up all night. Don't get mad at me. It's all right. You're going to stay up all night and you're going to go shopping on Black Friday. Let me ask you a question. Have you noticed you don't know when Black Friday is this year? Because they've already started calling things Black Friday sales. Have y'all noticed that? It's messing y'all up, ain't it? And so you're going to stay up all night. You're going to go shopping. You're going to run around town. You're going to make Facebook. Be careful. Don't make Facebook. You don't want to be Facebook famous. And so, but let's suppose you're out on Black Friday and you're shopping and I don't know where you're at, because I don't go to those places. I'm an online shopper, and which is a real issue this year, but that's a whole other story. And you're at some store, and you see they have a sale. Buy one outfit, get 5 free. And that just sounds like, you don't even stop to think what they look like. They're in your kid's size. Buy one, get 5 free. What are you going to do? You're buying them. You're going to take those things home and you're going to stick them back in the closet. And your plan is to give them out as Christmas presents, or maybe the next 6 years. But then it's Christmas season and there's parties to go to, and your kid comes up and says, I don't have anything to wear. And you think, I got it. And you're going to go back into that closet and you're going to take one of the six out. And you're going to walk back in there and you're going to say, hey, you can wear this. And when you do, they're going to go, been there? What's that? I bought this for you. That's ugly. This is the story of my life. Every Sunday morning, and it's not Laura Kate, it's Jack and Ben. And John, oh, good night. He only wears skinny jeans. Have you seen my John? John ain't skinny. He's a big old boy. He's strong. And so you pull this out of the closet and you give it to, and I don't want that. Let me ask you a question. When you do that, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with the rest of them? Not only that, the Lego Ninjago set you bought for them, whatever new video game that you bought this year, the TV, is that going to make you want to give them more? I don't think God's much different. When God gives us and blesses us and takes care of us and provides for us, and we kind of turn up our nose and fail to say thank you, Luke 16 says, we rob ourselves of the true riches. Amen? So every Sunday, Lord willing, I'm going to try to remember. Every Sunday, I want to end the sermon, or at least some point in the sermon, I want to remind you what my pastor said. If you weren't here last week, I shared this last week. I'm going to share it next week and the week after. Because this is the whole point of the whole series. A thinking Christian is a thankful Christian. A thinking Christian is a thankful Christian. And if you will just stop to think about all that God's done for you and His goodness and blessing in your life, how can you not say thank you? If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day, He rose from the dead. So that if you sitting here this morning at Abilene Baptist Church would simply realize that you're a sinner, because we all are, and that if you would tell God that you're sorry for your sin, that's what it means to repent, and that if you would surrender your life to the Lord Jesus, ask Him to save you, to be the Lord, or as my friends in South Africa would say, the boss of your life, that if you would do that this morning, Jesus would come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, and save you. And if you've never done that this morning, what good reason could you give for not doing that before you leave this place today?